I am here with Brother Bryce Meegum. He is the Department Music Chair at BYU-Idaho. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
And you are the devotional speaker on Tuesday, and the title of your talk is Publican, Centurions, and Samaritans, Developing Charity for the Other. What made you want to talk on that topic?
Several things. First of all, for the past several years, every November, after Thanksgiving, I've made it a habit to read through the Gospels and 3rd Nephi, just to kind of learn to know the Savior better in preparation for Christmas. And I've noticed how much time he spends teaching us how we should treat one another. Also, I've had the opportunity for work-related responsibilities to travel quite a bit, and I've been just overwhelmed by how much I've learned from people who are very different from me, who have different beliefs, different language, different customs, different cultures, and how much I learned so much truth from them, and how much learning from them strengthened my testimony. So I've just become really fascinated with how Christ seems to be teaching us to not only treat people well, but also that we can learn from people who are different from us, even people who believe different than we do.
Absolutely. And you talk about the concept of otherness, like about the other. Can you explain more about that?
Well, this is a sociological concept that I've learned a little bit about in teaching my World Foundations class. Okay. Basically, it's the idea that we define ourselves as individuals by how we're different from other people, which is a totally natural thing to do. But also as groups of people, we define ourselves by how we're different from others. And I think the place that I've encountered this idea of otherness the most is in studying things in history like the Holocaust, where a group of people were seen as being so much other, so different, that they were then dehumanized and treated very horribly. But we see varying levels of this throughout history. And on a much more daily kind of basis, we do this all the time with people, you know. With, music majors think that theater majors are weird. I'm sure theater majors think music majors are weird because we're different.
Yeah.
We have different different things that we do, different ways that we act. I think it probably happens in families, too, and in with roommates, With all those roommates, they're weird. So we look at people and we often define them by how they're different. And unfortunately, in human nature, there's a tendency to take that to extremes sometimes and to then discriminate against people or treat people badly or even dehumanize people because they're different than us.
Yeah, and I think today we see more of putting the other label to somebody.
Yeah, I think we see it a lot, and I think it's a reaction to fears that we have.
Yeah.
Economic fears or fears that our culture is going to somehow be erased or whatever the fear might be, and so we start looking at how people are different. But I think what one of the things that Christ is trying to teach us in particularly, I picked three examples of when he's holding up the publican as an example, when he's holding up a centurion as an example, and a Samaritan as an example. He's trying to show us that even these people who are very different than us can be examples to us. Because centurions were the military officers of an occupying force.
Yeah.
So imagine if a occupying military force from another country was occupying our country. What kind of feelings would you have toward the officers of that military? I think you'd probably hate them.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to see anything good in them. Same thing with the publicans. They were the tax collectors for this occupying country. The Samaritans, they were not politically different. They were religiously different. They were considered to be covenant breakers. They had intermarried with Gentiles. And they had basically a different religion from the children of Israel that Christ was preaching to. And they were very despised. Yet Christ holds up those people who would have been despised, who would have been the outcast, who would have been the other. He holds them up as examples. And I think that what he's trying to teach us is that we need to look at people as individuals, number one. And number two, that even sometimes people who have qualities that we believe are bad can be examples of good in some instances.
No, absolutely. And in your talk, you give a quote by Elder Worthlin. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it just really stood out to me. And it said, it talks about how Christ made us as a symphony kind of thing. And how he's not only going to focus on the piccolo, because we all have something to contribute.
Yeah. And I think this is where maybe my musical background has helped me to understand the necessity of appreciating diversity.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I play the trombone. I teach trombone, and I really like trombone.
Yeah.
But if an orchestra were made up of all trombones, it wouldn't have near the potential for making beautiful music that it
Absolutely.
Does when there are lots of different instruments. And I think that's a great analogy for the human race, like Elder Worthlin said, that we're individuals. We're individual children of God, and we each have our own qualities and characteristics. And God loves each of us, and each of us have something to contribute. And so that's been something in my musical background that I think has really helped me to be sensitive to these teachings of the Savior. Right. And something that I try to teach my students all the time is that when you're playing in a musical ensemble, you have to recognize the role that you're playing. You have
yeah.
to recognize the role that others are playing, and you have to buy into that.
Absolutely.
You have to play that role and play it well. And you have to recognize that others have a different role to play. And I think that that's true in life, too, is that, you know, I'm not going to look at my friends, my Catholic friends, and have them teach me everything, but they have taught me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have a brother and sister-in-law who are Catholic, and they're very devout. They're very diligent in their beliefs, and that is an example to me.
Yeah.
And so while I may disagree with them on particular points of doctrine, they are an example to me of people who are living what they believe.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, you also mentioned something about President Hinckley, what he said, and I wrote it down. It said, in his quote, "We can be appreciative in a very sincere way. We must not only be tolerant, but must cultivate a spirit of affirmative gratitude for those who do not see things quite as we see them."
I think sometimes we might have a fear that if we see an unbeliever or somebody who has different political ideals than we do, and if we somehow suggest that there's something good about them, that we're not being faithful to what we believe.
Yeah.
But I think President Hinckley in that that article teaches us that that's not true. That we can hold on to our beliefs, and we can believe the things that we believe, but we can still look for what is good in others.
Yeah.
And we can still be inspired by the good qualities of others.
Absolutely. And with the other, there was a point in your talk where you talk about how you felt like being kind of the outcast while you went to India.
Yeah.
Can you explain about that experience?
Yeah. It going to India was probably as close to going to another planet as I'll ever feel. It's so different there. It is. I mean, there are elements of Western culture, of course, everywhere: cars, people, radios. But there are so many people, and there is such a divide between the rich and the poor in that country. I mean, we went to a mall that was the fanciest, most extravagant mall I've ever seen, with really amazing products in all the stores that were very beautiful and amazing. And then right out the back side of the mall, there was a shanty town, people living in cardboard boxes with corrugated steel roofs and in just conditions of squalor. And you're never alone in that country. There's always somebody around you really close. And I felt like a foreigner. I felt like completely different than these people. But as we spent time in that country, we visited various religious sites, the place where the Buddha achieved enlightenment, and we went to the Golden Temple in Amritsar, and we went to a big temple of the Baha'i faith. And in each of those places, I found something about their spirituality and their beliefs that supported some of my own beliefs and actually was a good example to me. So I mentioned experience of the man at the Golden Temple who, you know, he was still in his work uniform. He kind of looked like a gas station attendant, kind of. He had a uniform shirt on with his name on it. And he was just there to help people. He was just there to help foreigners, to show them around. It wasn't his job. It wasn't a church calling or anything. He was just doing it because he thought it was a good thing to do. And he gave us all kinds of information about where we could go and what we could do while we were there. And he wrote things down in a book for us. But the most significant thing was that he explained the purpose of this temple, which is where they keep their scriptures, which are called the Guru Granth Sahib, and they treat them as if they're a person. And it's really kind of strange and foreign to us. And you think, oh, they're treating this book of scripture like it's a person. I mean, they take it and they put it to bed at night, and they wake it up in the morning, they bring it out, and it's really weird to us, right? But he made a comment just as we were leaving. In fact, he bore his testimony to us. He said, I know that if you make time every day in your life for the word of God, that God will bless you. And it was such a sincere testimony. And you could tell that he had felt the influence of seeking for God in his own way. And that had made a difference in life, and that he wanted to share that with other people. That had such an influence on me to think that this man was bearing his testimony to me. Now, I don't think that I'm going to convert to the Sikhism, but I see in that man a man who has sought light and truth, and to the extent that he has attained it, he is trying to live by it, and he's trying to share it with others. And I think that is such a wonderful example for me.
Yeah, and going back to what President Hinckley said in that talk or in that message, he said how a friend of his who was Jewish prayed, and he was so grateful for that experience, and another person from a different religion. And I've seen that in my life, where I may not believe in what they believe, but by them sharing their religion, sharing their faith, and just strengthens my faith. And I think that's where we come back to we might be different culturally, we might be different ethnicity-wise, but at the end of the day, we can all strengthen each other because we all have different qualities that we all need to learn.
Yeah, and I think what President Hinckley is trying to teach us, and what Christ is trying to teach us, is that we need to not look for what is bad in other people or what is different about other people. We need to look at our commonalities. First of all, that we're all children of God. I mean, we believe that we are literally the children of God. We are brothers and sisters. Everyone is. You know, the people that I don't like, the people that are different, the people that I struggle with, they're all children of God too, and God loves them. And Christ sees them as people with great potential who have good in them. And he was willing to make his atoning sacrifice for them. And I think the message to us is to look for what is good. Look for what is true. Look for what is beautiful. And to be forgiving and merciful of things that are not good, but to focus on the good and on the potential of people. And when we do that, I think we have a very different experience, because if we're focused on the bad and looking for the bad, then that's what we see. But if we're focused on the good, then that's what we see.
Yeah.
And that's what has influence on us.
No, and I think that goes to the principle of that Christ said, love thine enemy. And because of that, we don't only see the bad, but we'll see the good in them, and we'll see the good qualities that they have, and that'll help us even more. So, what are some of the main takeaways and lessons that you've learned while preparing for this message?
Well, this is a topic that I've been learning for many years, and. It started at a larger level of, you know, maybe looking at people who are different in terms of political beliefs or different in terms of religious beliefs, and kind of removed.
Yeah.
And what it has changed to, as I've continued to ponder on this and think about it and learn about it, is that I've learned to bring this into my personal life. I've learned to within my interpersonal relationships, both at work and at home, to try and not otherize people. Don't make them the other. To like we were saying, to look for what we have in common, and to look for what's good. So, I mean, it's not uncommon in work relationships to have conflict.
Mm-hmm.
People are in different positions in an organization have different priorities, different things that are weighing on them as they're making decisions. And it has helped me to learn to look at people, number one, as children of God. Number two, to look for what we have in common, and to look at the shared values that we have, or the shared goals that we have, and to look for what's good. And I think when we do that, it is easier to negotiate the conflicts that we have. It's easier to negotiate the differences that we have. And in effect, rather than becoming enemies and being working against each other, when we look for what is good, and then we're able to cooperate better. We're able to overcome our differences and work together much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And lastly, what is the main takeaways that you hope those who listen to your devotional take away from this talk?
I hope that those who listen, students, faculty, that they will take a new look at people around them, that they will take a look at people that maybe they feel some antagonism toward or some conflict with or some sense of otherness toward, and reevaluate those relationships and reevaluate the way that they're looking at them, and that they will be able to try and view them as Christ would view them. I know that's not an easy thing, and yeah. For me, that's something that has taken years, and I'm sure it will continue to take years. But I think that's the goal, is for us to become like Christ, like our Heavenly Father, to see other people as they see them. And that's what I'd like people to take away from it.
Brother Meekham, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And we are looking forward to your devotional.
Thank you.